Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is November 1st, 2018. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time at the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. We are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. Airtime isn't free, and this ministry sells nothing. So we are only on the air due to your donations. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is in worldwide in places like Dubai, United Arab Emirates, the Russian Federation, Ottawa, Canada, Colombo, Sri Lanka, Athens, Greece, and, of course, cities in the United States such as Houston, Texas, Washington, D.C., Kansas City, Missouri, Albuquerque, New Mexico. These are just to name a few, of course, and Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcasts later tonight. And Washington, D.C. sometimes does outdo Wichita. Follow us and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now prayer, and we'll get on tonight with a really important program. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not our wills, Father. Please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. What a nice guest is Troy Anderson. He is a Pulitzer Prize-nominated investigative journalist, his best-selling co-author, along with Paul McGuire of the Babylon Code, former executive editor of Charisma Magazine and Charisma Media, a regular guest on many different TV stations and radio shows. He lives in Irvine, California. He's written a book that we're going to talk about tonight. It's called The Trump Apocalypse, The End Time President, A Battle Against Global Elite and the Countdown to Armageddon. So are you there with me, Troy?
Yeah, Pastor, I'm here. Great to be on your show.
Well, I'm so glad to have you on. And I have to admit, you know, I asked you to be on. You sent me the book, and I didn't grab it up right at first. And I've just been so busy, and sometimes how we miss dates. But then when I did grab it up, I went like, wow, this is a really important book. It's a great blessing. How is this book doing right now?
Yeah, it's been a number one bestseller. It's and we're in negotiations with a major Christian filmmaker who turned into a docudrama film.
Really? Well, amen. You know, they just did the film on the Trump prophecies. I haven't got a chance to see it yet, but that would be a good thing because, you know, we really have a generation. You know, a lot of people don't understand Trump. Well, they like some of the things that he's doing. They really don't understand how a man like this and, you know, Christians and believers can say, well, we're for him, you know, that's kind of a dilemma for a lot. Do you agree?
yeah, that's been one of the big dilemmas for a lot of people. Is the you've heard of this you know for many years or many decades, sort of this Christian or this sort of playboy billionaire led this secular lifestyle, and then here recently. His election just, stunned and surprised the world, sent shockwaves around the world. I remember Franklin Graham posted the day after that he called it the God factor, that the media and the pundits, they had no idea, they thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win, and all of a sudden Trump won, and everybody's asking this question, how could this guy possibly win, the presidency of the United States? And what we talk about in the book is that if you look back through the Bible, God often uses even pagan leaders like Nebuchadnezzar and the Pharaoh, and then certainly many of the biblical characters were flawed. King David committed adultery and tried to cover up with a murder. So there's many flawed characters throughout the Bible. So God could use anybody, and we argue that He has the skill set, the experience, the warrior spirit, and the courage and boldness to take on these globalist forces that are trying to end the free world as we know it.
Yeah, amen. I agree. For years, I believe now, I can identify. For years, I when I got so frustrated with the presidencies, Barrett and that's plural, beyond Obama not doing the right things, I kept thinking to myself, or it kept coming over me that, which now I believe it was the Spirit, just, the Holy Spirit getting me ready for President Trump, but kept telling me over and over, it's going to take somebody that doesn't care about the next election. It's going to take somebody. Well, it just kept describing exactly President Trump. And here he is, and I go, oh, okay, I get it. He doesn't seem to be beholden to anybody. What do you think?
Yeah, and this is one of the most unusual things about President Trump is, if you do all the research, I've been, digging into this whole thing with the globalist elite and the secret societies and these, the deep state, these powerful behind-the-scenes forces for about a decade now, ever since I left the LA Daily News. And, they really have, largely gained control of all the dominant institutions in America and throughout the world, the media, much of the government. And, certainly academia and the educational system, they've been, indoctrinating our kids for decades now. And all these presidents we've had in the past have all, they filled their cabinets with members of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and, all these, elite establishment kind of people that are globalist and tied into this whole system. And so we really haven't had a true independent president. To a certain degree, President Reagan was a great president, perhaps, somebody truly independent, we may have to go back to Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
And of course, he was assassinated, and we even talk about that in the book, that, one of these secret societies may have been behind that. So, as far as we can tell, President Trump is, fairly independent and is certainly very courageous. And if you look at all the characters in the Bible, one of the defining characteristics is they're very courageous and bold. And many of them, gave their lives for the calling that God placed on their lives.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you can't call him not independent. I mean, his style, he's so bold. And it's just incredible how others would have been defeated. You know what I'm saying? And it's just shocking. Just like his election was shocking to so many, they thought they had it. It was a done deal. And so now we're into what I'm calling, I've been calling it after about 6 months after he was elected, I started saying, well, we're into the revealing right now, because have you ever seen the manner of evil before? But I'm, we're seeing it out in the open, the screaming and the rhetoric and all of this. It just seems they're revealing themselves. Back to you.
I covered the L.A. County government for the L.A. Daily News for, I think it was like for 12 years or something like that. And County Supervisor Mike Antonovich, he fought to keep the cross of the county seal. I wrote all kinds of stories about that about over a decade ago. And just recently, he saw me post, we're friends on Facebook, he saw me post Trumpocalypse on Facebook, and he shared it with all his friends, and so we started talking back and forth, and he told me that he's never seen anything like this in politics before. I mean, he used to be the head of the Republican Party in California, and he's the state lawmaker and that kind of thing, and he said he's never seen this level of just the chaos in politics before, and he said this is spiritual warfare is what's going on here. We're in a gigantic spiritual battle, and we're watching it play out in the geopolitical, you know, political realm. But this is what the Bible talks about, of the, you know, the battle behind the scenes between the forces of darkness and the forces of God. And that's what we're seeing play out now, with the, you know, all this witchcraft and occult stuff and, you know, all the, you know, the Illuminati, you know, symbolism that we see in the media and the Grammy Awards and the Super Bowls and everything. And it's all out in the open now. This is a gigantic spiritual battle that's, you know, almost certainly going to precede the, you know, the events predicted in the Bible.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, the revealing of it, like I'm saying, you know, it's just so incredible. And those are almost my words exactly in the sense of talking about that. What we're seeing is a spiritual battle play out in our physical world. And that's exactly what they're seeing. And I mean, you know, it's like Trump did something. Let's call out the witches to and warlocks to hexing. I can't believe in the response that we're seeing these people show up to do this. You wouldn't even have known them to be there, would we, had he not been elected?
Yeah, this is something interesting we dug up for Trumpocalypse, is that there was an author named, I think her name's Constance Kumby. She wrote a book about the, I forget the exact title, but I quote her in Trumpocalypse. But, you know, back in the 80s, she was talking about the New Age movement, how prevalent it had become, and how the New Age movement had infiltrated, you know, all these different, you know, segments of society, and they were connected in with the United Nations, and so I got a hold of her. She's a lawyer, and interviewed her, and she said that, you know, since the time she wrote that book, you know, 3 decades ago or so, you know, she studied this over the last, you know, 30 years or so, and it's become, you know, huge. In fact, I think there was a poll that came out, maybe it was from Barna or Pew, that found like over 60% of people who go to evangelical Christians now have various New Age kind of beliefs. And so this is, you know, and then the J.R. Church, he used to be the head of Prophecy in the News. I quoted him, and he said that the, you know, essentially the New Age movement, you know, the Illuminati or this, you know, these powerful behind the scenes forces, these secret societies have used this New Age movement, all this occult interest, the witchcraft, you know, the Ouija boards and reincarnation and this belief that all roads lead to heaven kind of thing, sort of, you know, bringing the world religions together. They've used this to, you know, deceive us. This is probably going to be the great deception that the Bible talks about. And so it's very widespread now and accepted. We've had, you know, several generations of youth essentially been indoctrinated into this in our public school system and certainly in the colleges.
Yeah, absolutely. There were several things there, but we'll pick on the last one first. You talk about Common Core in your book. You want to elaborate a little bit on that? Because the education is, we're losing our youth. We really are. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is one of the most, you know, shocking things that we discovered in this research is that, you know, the common, you know, you've heard about Common Core. It's essentially this United Nations, program, and it's been called different names over the last, you know, they keep on changing the name as it becomes controversial. I think at one point it was, you know, No Child Left Behind, and then, you know, they keep on sort of changing the name, but the whole, for decades now, and it's, the United Nations has a, you know, certain special programs, UNESCO, that, you know, are studying the curriculum worldwide for the entire population. They've been doing this for decades. And so we've had now 2 or 3 generations of children, largely unbeknownst to most parents, that have been indoctrinated in sort of this globalist view. So you hear terms like a global citizen, and they have these global citizen festivals in New York and Hamburg and around the world now. And they have all these celebrities and world leaders come to these things, and you know, thousands and thousands of people show up to them, and they're trying to indoctrinate us all into thinking of ourselves as global citizens. And we cite a poll in the book. I think it's from the Global Challenges Foundation. They polled 8,000 people worldwide in all the major, you know, most of the major countries. And it was 7 in 10 people worldwide now favor a global political authority to address, you know, world problems like nuclear war and climate change and poverty and hunger and those kind of things. And so they've been hugely successful in indoctrinating much of the world into thinking that we need to have this global system. We should be all should be good global citizens. We should just sort of go along with this whole scheme. And then there are these polls that came out recently found that over 50% of the millennial generation alone now favor socialism and communism over capitalism. So, you know, what are the schools been teaching their kids, you know?
Yeah, that's something that, you know, totally amazes me. You know, I mean, you know, I'm 63 years old. The point being is the generation I was from, everything, I grew up knowing the problems with communism, and I learned about it in school. I learned about it by watching, you know, by watching TV and listening to the adults around me, you know, talk about it. And so to discover how disconnected our youth is with that and screaming for, oh, I want to, you know, I want to be communist socialist. They don't get it. They would want to live in the system. If they got the system they wanted, they wouldn't want to live there. And it also goes back to the women, you know, which I'd really like to talk about that a little bit. But first, the point is going back to the point of the society that these liberals are, what I don't even really know if we can call it that, but these people are screaming for are societies that once they got it would shut them up and they wouldn't even want to talk to them. What do you think?
Yeah, and this is a danger. This whole thing is sort of being sold to the younger generation that, you know, you're going to get free health care, you're going to get a free college, there's all these freebies. It's all big free lunch. And this, you know, there's going to be a what they call it, the universal guaranteed or basic income. And so even if you don't work, you'll get this, you know, check from the government that'll, you know, at least pay your basics kind of thing. And so, you know, all these kids that have grown up on, you know, video games and social media and internet, this is like, you know, sounds like a dream come true to them. They don't have to work, right? They would just be lazy. But, yeah. But, you know, I mean, there's always like a sugar-coated, you know, lure that is used. And obviously the Jesus and the Bible tells us that Satan is a deceiver. He's a liar from the beginning. So he's always using all kinds of tricks and deception to fool us. And, you can bet your bottom dollar, because the Bible tells us how it's all going to end, that, you know, they'll use these kind of lures to get us to go along with this and to tempt us and offer us, you know, these freebies. But once they gain total control of the world, you know, then, you know, they can do whatever they want. And, you know, every communist and pretty much every communist and socialist system we've seen, you know, Nazi Germany was a socialist system, national right. socialist, China, excuse me.
I just said right, but yeah, I'm in agreement with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, those were gigantic bloodbaths. You know, over, I think it's 140 million people who were killed or starved to death in various communist and socialist revolutions over the last, you know, century or so. So,
right.
you know, the kids need to be educated as to, you know, what's happened in the past.
Right, right. And this brings me to a point where I'll relate a short story, and we could talk about more on the younger generation. You know, the other day, I don't know where you live at, but we've got a big store called Sam's, you know, Sam's Warehouse, that you have to have a membership for to buy things. And so I was at Sam's about 2 weeks ago, and I was going through the checkout line, and this young lady that, you know, to me didn't even look maybe 18, but, you know, she had to be over to work there. But the point was, is, you know, she's very nice, and she's checked me out, and she said, well, let me see your card. So I gave her my card, and she checked the card and said, okay, it's going to expire November 1st. And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, I don't have to worry about that. My wife takes care of that. And then I jokingly said to her, and I said, ask me how my electricity's on. I said, what I always say, well, I have to turn on a switch. And then I related, because, you know, she takes care of all the bills and those kind of things. I give her the money, she takes care of it. And she got this terrible, sad look on her face. Her heart dropped, and she looked at me and she said, you know, my generation is messed up. And I said, well, how so? And she says, it's just messed up. She says, they believe that women should be forced into the man's job and doing the work, and a man should stay home and take care of everything, even the kids or whatever, and that men should be subservient to women. But, you know, me and both my boyfriend work, but our generation is just so messed up. And I told her, I said, well, you are an encouragement to your generation because you can see that. But I really was, you know, taken away by that. It was a stark reality. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, in fact, I was just had breakfast this morning with a friend of mine. We were talking about the very thing. He's writing a book about about millennials and Generation Z, and he was saying a very similar thing from the research that he's doing, is that, you know, there's sort of this awakening occurring among the younger generation that, you know, things are not right. You know, this everything they've been taught and sort of deceived and indoctrinated into is, you know, it sort of like left them sort of messed up, and you know, so it's that's part of the reason why, you know, we wrote these books and we're trying to get this message out is if we can educate people, if we can awaken them to what's really happening, sort of, you know, pull back this veil that's been, you know, this veil of deception that's been, you know, placed over the eyes of the world, then, you know, like Jesus said, the truth will set you free.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen. And, you know, yeah, I did. And I really walked away from that encounter. It really did a great impression on me. And then, you know, I've been praying and thinking about it since, just for the mere fact that I didn't realize how widespread some of this garbage, you know, because I do a lot of research. I spend a lot of time on the internet. And so, yeah, in the news, I see all this yelling and everything. And I live in Kansas and I'm thinking, well, I don't really see all that because, you know, like racism, you know, I have a mission church and there's black, white, green, purple, you know what I mean? Everybody in there and there's no racism. And every time I'm always being treated well by whether it's a black person or a Mexican or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And I don't see that. So I just kind of thought, well, it's more on the coast. But this, you know, like hit me right in the face. So it was quite something. We're going to go to a break in just a short period. Where's the best way to get a hold of you? Or you want me, you know, for the book is the website.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my website's troyanderson.us, and the book is available at Barnes & Noble and pretty much anywhere books are sold.
Right, absolutely. But, yeah, folks, they do have a good website for it. So I will, if you go to prophecyhour.com, I will put a link to this. I'll send it right now during break. There will be a link at the pastor's page, so you can just directly go over there. And also, whenever you hear this later on tonight, when it goes off my radio, we'll put it out in podcast, and there will be a direct link also. Well, Troy, I appreciate you being on with me, and hang on, we'll be back in 3 minutes, and we'll talk a little more.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back, folks. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour and American Voice Radio Network. And we normally, folks, we talk about the Mission Church right now for a couple of minutes, but I'm going to save that for the end of the program. I really want to get back with this guest that we have tonight because this is really important, and I really want you to share this program before this election next week. We're talking about a book called The Trump Apocalypse. It's the End Time Presidents, A Battle Against the Global Elite and the Countdown to Armageddon, and we're talking with Troy Anderson. Still with me, Troy?
Yeah, it's great to be on the show. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for being on. This book opens up so many different things and really answers so many incredible questions. It is really a must-read for everybody, and I'm not just trying to sell your book. It's just, it's the truth. There's a lot of things. Yes, I understand a lot of these things because I've talked to different people. I have never seen so much in one book about this. Back to you.
Yeah, I mean, we've had an incredible response. You know, readers have said things like, you know, it's the most profound book of our time. They've called it dangerously hot, the masterpiece, phenomenal, riveting, anointed, way bigger than God's Not Dead. So we've, you know, we've had just an incredible reaction, amazing reaction from people that read the book.
Yeah, amen. I can see why. In the book, trying to get some understanding of some of these folks out here, and of course they need to read the book to get a full understanding. There's no way possible we could cover it all in the little bit of time that we have. But you say in the book, can you talk a little bit about that Trump released America's prophetic destiny? I mean, we wouldn't be going to that point had Hillary been elected. I think we would be in a nightmare right now. But can you talk on that a little bit?
Yeah. So what we argue in the book is that we believe God has had a prophetic destiny for America since the time that the Pilgrims came here back in the 1600s. You know, in the Mayflower Compact, they dedicated America to the advancement of the Christian faith. They actually put that in the Mayflower Compact. And to a certain extent, you know, the Pilgrims were, you know, they taught their children Hebrew. They you know, their descendants founded, I think it's Princeton, Yale, and Harvard, and some of these, you know, prestigious colleges that we have today, and some of their seminaries. And so, you know, a lot of what they were doing is trying to sort of base the American society on the ancient Hebrew society. And so we believe that, you know, and since that time, over the last four centuries, you know, God has used America in amazing ways to spread the gospel around the world. You know, the last instruction Jesus gave his disciples before he went to heaven, was to take the gospel to all the world. And, you know, over the last four centuries, there's been an explosion in Christianity worldwide. You know, today we've got, you know, hundreds of millions, over 2 billion, you know, Christians, worldwide. And so we believe that, you know, God has an incredible plan for America, but unfortunately in recent decades, you know, we've largely turned away from God. We've had a moral free fall occur in our country. You know, we can sort of trace it back to the, you know, taking prayer out of the schools and the legalization of abortion and taking Bible reading out of schools. And so we've become a largely secular society, but, you know, what we believe happened with President Trump's election is that God's given us extra time here. You know, when I interviewed Billy Graham before he died here, you know, I interviewed him several years ago, and he compared America to ancient Nineveh. And he said that when God sent the prophet Jonah to the king of Nineveh to warn them of God's impending judgment, that the king and the people repented. And Billy Graham told me he believed the same thing could happen again today in America. And so we believe God has given us more time to fulfill the Great Commission. And we actually, we can talk about this a little bit later, but a friend of ours, a minister friend of ours, is working at the White House now on a national and global day of repentance. And we believe that's the solution, and we believe that's close to God's heart.
Yeah, amen. Well, I totally agree. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand the depth of repentance. Repentance basically means turning back to God, turning back to Yahweh. And so, you know, we do need, as a nation, to do that. And we need to repent and turn away from our ways. And that's the key to it. I believe that Trump coming in was an answer to, I believe there was a lot of people praying, you know, that helped pray this man in, and people had to been using their voices to talk to each other. But the biggest one of the, and I would like your opinion on this. One of the biggest things that I've stood on for some time is I've seen the church's voice, ebbing away. And I can track that back to actually, to me, it seems like with the Johnson Amendment that was made, I think it was 58, I think, where it may turn churches into 501(c)s, and they couldn't talk, you know, because of politically correctness, they couldn't talk politics. Prior to that, you know, you could go listen to it. You go to the church on Sunday and it gets close to election day. We're going to be talking about, you know, the candidates. In fact, it really riled, Lyndon Johnson, because the church in Texas was actually after him for all his immoral ways. And so this Johnson Amendment that was attached to a bill led to that. So over the years, the church has been getting more and more silent, and I date it to that time. Could have been earlier, but I really take it to that. the church seemed like it changed its job. You know, church used to even be our welfare, if you will. You know, they would take care of people. They would help people find jobs and so on and so forth. But the church changed. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the most stunning things that that we've seen happen is, you know, there's all these polls that we cite in this book that show, you know, it's roughly about 80% of evangelical Christians believe we're living in the biblical end times. So this is a very widespread belief. And even, you know, I did over 150 interviews for both these books. You know, everybody from, you know, like Billy Graham and Tim LaHaye and Hal Lindsey, Joel Rosenberg, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, Pastor Greg Laurie, Mark Hitchcock, but then also all kinds of, you know, secular experts, Noam Chomsky and professors at Princeton and Oxford that study existential risk. And among all these faith leaders and Bible prophecy scholars, this overwhelming consensus is that we are in the run-up to the events, you know, predicted in the Bible. But what's even more surprising, all these secular experts also believe that we're approaching the end of human civilization. And, you know, Oxford has the Future of Humanity Institute, and they issue annual reports on existential risk, and they cite things like, you know, nuclear war and extreme climate change, artificial intelligence run amok, a global totalitarian government is one of the top threats facing the world. And so they're convinced that, you know, we're facing grave dangers. And so, and it's in the news constantly. It's just obvious that, you know, this is all unfolding before our eyes now, and yet the church is largely silent about this. It's, you know, we've tried to find some statistics on this, and it's somewhere between, you know, 7 and 9 churches are not teaching about Bible prophecy anymore. They're not talking about what's happening. And so it's all sort of this, you know, personal peace, prosperity, wealth. God wants to bless you and take care of you, and it's all about your personal happiness and wealth. And that's, you know, if you read the Bible, you know, there's parts of the Bible that talk about that God does, you know, want to bless us and for us to,
sure,
you know, but if you read the Bible, you'd get the impression pretty quickly that, you know, it's far more, you know, there's far more to the picture than that. And so, you know, any pastors, you know, listening to this broadcast, I would encourage you to, you know, to find out as much as you can about, you know, what the Bible says about the future, about Bible prophecy, and just be bold and courageous. You know, I believe President Trump, he issued an executive order rolling back the Johnson ruling.
Right.
So it's now, well, do you know the details on that? I think it'd be important to tell people about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, these, all of the things that they should be talking about it from the pulpit, they should be giving them positive. And you know, one of the two major problems, I did a program earlier, we were talking about how evangelicals, the younger generation were coming away from Christianity for two major reasons. One is because of immigration. M1, the non-acceptance of the LGBTQ or whatever it is community, the gay community, and non-acceptance of that. But if that had been being taught from the pulpit, you know, all along in the right mannerism, you know, let's go with this. I had a girl, it's been a couple of years ago, she came into the mission church and she set in for service this young lady and her boyfriend. And just, you know, we were doing a Bible study, and in the middle of it, I just stopped dead and I looked over at him and I said, you know, do you believe it's okay to live in fornication? And, you know, can you? And they just stopped and they looked at me and they said, well, yes, it doesn't matter who we have sex with or whether we're married or not. And I said, really? I said, well, where did you learn that at? And they said, the church that we go to here, and I'm not going to name the church, right down the street. And I know the church. It's a major church in Wichita. And it was just in shock. But I witnessed her, you know, and showed her showed them the error that they were in. And, you know, I never saw them again. But this is it's like they're embracing sin and with the backup of some of these churches that are trying to be politically correct. Back to you.
Yeah, this is another thing that's gone on is part of the enemy's deception was to, you know, to a certain extent infiltrate the seminaries, the Bible colleges, and now the churches. And so we've, you know, unfortunately, you know, there's a certain number of churches out there that are not teaching, you know, the Bible anymore. It's all sort of this complete free for all, like you're saying. You know, that's pretty stunning that a church would, you know, tell kids something like that. So, And you keep on hearing more and more reports around the country of all kinds of aberrant teachings, you know, and a large part of this is because people don't read the Bible anymore, so they don't know what's in the Bible, so these, you know, these ministers that are in air can essentially tell them whatever they want, and it's created all this, you know, spiritual confusion, and this is all part of the you know, essentially the devil's deception, is to try to, you know, call into question the inerrancy of the Bible and the truth of the Bible and God's holy word. And then once you do that, then it's, you know, everything goes. And that's what we're seeing unfolding today.
Yeah. I guess probably the last thing, and then I'll let you go. Next Tuesday to me is really important. I think that we need to get out and vote. What do you think about the election? Do you think that should we vote? Is your encouragement there?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably going to be the most important election in American history, because if the progressives and the Democrats, if they take the House and if they take the Senate, there's going to be a full court press for the next 2 years to impeach President Trump and weaken him politically so that they can, you know, run a candidate in 2020 that can beat him. And if that happens, we are going to be right back to square one. You know, the globalist elite, these secret societies, these, you know, super billionaires that largely control our political systems, they are going to, you know, it's going to be no holds barred after they get rid of Trump, because, you know, it'll just be, you know, acceleration toward the new world order and this globalist system they want to move us into. And, you know, we could see, you know, real persecution, not just of, you know, believers around the world, but here in America. And so this election is very important, because, you know, most of the polls that are coming out now show that, you know, the Democrats may take the House, and, you know, that would open up all kinds of possibilities for investigations and impeachment proceedings and all kinds of stuff like that. So it's very important to vote biblical values.
Yeah, amen. One last question. I don't believe that I can walk away from this. I haven't read the book, The Babylon Code. Is that an important book also that we should be reading with this?
Yeah, the Babylon Code is the first book in the series called The Babylon Code, Solving the Bible's Greatest End Times Mystery. And it's essentially an expose of globalism. And, you know, President Trump ran on a platform of Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo. And so then Trumpocalypse is the second book in the series. And so The Babylon Code explores this great biblical mystery that begins in ancient Babylon, you know, with the story of the Tower of Babel, and then reemerges in Revelation as Mystery Babylon and Babylon the Great. And it's considered one of the Bible's greatest mysteries. So we unpack that together with an investigative expose of globalism in the first book.
I'm so impressed with this book. I noticed this one, and so I asked you about it. I'm going to have to get the other book and read it, because this book is dynamite, and I'll probably have a better understanding of this book having read that. Well, brother, I really appreciate you being on with me. It's been a great interview, and, you know, I'm really praying for your work to go forward. Thanks for being on with me. Maybe we could do it again sometime.
That'd be great. It's a great honor to be on your show. God bless you.
All right. You be blessed. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that was Troy Anderson. And again, Troy Anderson and Paul McGuire wrote a book, and I guess this is the second book. I didn't realize The Babylon Code was the first book, but this book that we talked about tonight is called The Trump Apocalypse, and it's the end times president, a battle against the global elite, and the countdown to Armageddon. And you will find quotes in it from many people who I've interviewed on this program, and really important people out there in Bible prophecy. And I have to keep going back to you, if you know. In fact, for the record, folks, when you get this on podcast later tonight, make sure you pick up the listen also to the podcast I did last night with my wife on a Mega Man show, and we talked about some of the evils and things. But also today earlier we did. So these are all kind of linked together. But the big thing that I keep going back to is my heart is with the young. It is so important for us. You know, one thing that comes to mind, and I'm talking about the youth. One thing that comes to mind is something I saw earlier today, and that was because they were talking about there's going to be a big dramatic upswing in youth vote coming out. But they said it looks bad for one party, and that meant the Republicans. We really need to edge base with Common Core, they stole our youth, so to speak. So many times we hear it from them over and over. Oh, Common Core, it's a great thing. All those presidents like Bush, those people that wanted Common Core is a Satanistic thing that allowed them to bring it to this point. It's really covered great in this book, The Trump Apocalypse. But I knew this before. I read it there. It is a terrible, horrible thing. Our children are dumbed down. While they may even go through college, the things that they get in college are indoctrination. You see, children that have been, that did 4 to 6 years in college are living with parents at home because there's no job for them for the things that they study. But yet they're full of all of this rhetoric. And, you know, there's some places are even given college credits to go out and protest and so on and so forth. You see the instructors doing it. Now here in the local high school over here, we've got one teacher for sure I know that is total anti-Trump. But, you know, for the most part, where I live out in the country, in the middle of America, you know, you get more of a Christian belief. But when you get over to Wichita, where there is, it's a huge population and it's a liberal city. And so the children are indoctrinated. So what we need to do, we need to educate children and everybody else. One thing I noticed on Facebook is, you know, every time you'll be saying, well, you know, it's good that President Trump's got the caravan there. We touched on that. He's actually, this caravan I heard the report, that's actually going to build up fencing and walls and stuff. To stop the caravan, they are going to start building the wall. That's what the military is going down there to build the wall, basically. That's what I believe, and that's from the report that I read today and listened to. That's what I believe is happening. So them, that caravan coming can turn into a good thing because we build a wall. But, you know, so you get these people that tell you, well, it's not Christian. It is, Pastor Dan, you shouldn't even be a pastor. It's not Christian to build a wall. Well, number one, you know, have you ever read the book of Revelation? We'll go back to talking about reading the Bible. But in the book of Revelation, when it talks about New Jerusalem coming down, it talks about the walls and what they're made of and the gates to the city and the evil, the liars and fornicators and everybody else are outside the walls. Walls are a thing, you know. It is biblical. Go look, and if you really read all your Bible, you'll find out these principles are that way. Just like, you know, there's one law, one Torah for all the people. That's what it's all. They're all supposed to behave the same way. So that means, you know, if we use America and we establish on biblical principles, when you come to America, you have to obey its laws. You're not obeying its laws by breaking across the border and never showing back up in court. You're supposed to apply for asylum or apply for a visa. You can't just crowd in. Because we want people that will assimilate. That's the point. But the globalist elite, they want people in that will destroy America. And that's what it's all about. Right now, we are in a battle. It is a huge spiritual battle. You see everything that is, all the, it is that time where it says, they'll call good evil and evil good. Witches, they say, oh, it's good. You can be a Christian witch. Really? That's not biblical. Horoscopes. Is not biblical. You cannot go look in a horoscope to see what your day or year or what you're going to be like. That's not biblical. It's an abomination. You don't do these things. I'm almost out of wind. But we have encouragement. We have encouragement. We know that he'll save us like Ashak, Meshach, and Abednego if we stand up for his principles. He'll save us in that fiery furnace. But we have to stand up for what's right. You are called to do that. We are to occupy. Occupy means occupy the land. And we can't occupy the land if evil's occupying the land. So we are to occupy until he gets here. We're supposed to stand up for principles, not sit down and shut up and not vote or hear garbage that Trump is so bad. Well, he rose up Trump for a time like this. It took a man like him to do the things that he's doing. Look at all the positive things. But back to the youth. You need to learn to share with the youth about immigration. You need to be able to share with the youth about gayism and all of those things. You need to be able to tell the truth to them. You need to explain it to us, explain it to them, because, well, I believe we're in the time of the end. I don't know if it's this generation, the next, I believe it's within my lifetime. But the point is, we are supposed to occupy and go forward. Anyway, pray about it. Okay, in the meantime, let's talk about something good. And you know, now probably about half you folks will bail out because I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving. But, you know, we love Thanksgiving. It's this time of year. It's the biggest day of the year at the Wichita Mission Church. You know, at the Wichita Mission Church, we bring in all kinds of people, and we don't ask you for ID or any of those kind of things. We don't even ask you your name unless you introduce yourself to us. You come in, get anything that everybody else gets. So if you happen to be somebody from another country, you are. I'm not going to question that. Point is people come in looking for all things, and right now we need everything. We went through a really low summer, and now we're into winter. We need blankets. We need large print King James Bible, over-the-counter medications. Nobody else in this city does that, to my knowledge. And I've been doing it for years. I say, Pastor Dan, you're going to get in trouble. I ain't getting in trouble for what? Giving them a bottle of aspirin and a bottle of cough syrup and, you know, maybe some decongestant pills that are over-the-counter they could get through themselves. They make the choice. So, but we don't have the money for those things. People used to send them in all the time, but the last couple of years it's got low. But so a donation for that, you know, 50, 60 bucks will buy a lot of medication. That'll buy 50, 60 different bottles of medication at a dollar a piece. So pray about it. We also need King James Version Bibles. But the other, and so the other thing I want to talk about is Thanksgiving. It's our biggest day of the year. We do Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving. You get to come through the line and pick out all the wonderful stuff that you guys have for your Thanksgivings, you know. Although a lot of you now don't do Thanksgiving. You're too busy going out to the store for that shopping day that you're going to get and the shopping sales instead of having a great Thanksgiving with family. But we give a family-style Thanksgiving to the folks. And they get a good everything, and then the next day on Friday they get the dinner again. Only that day they get what's put on their plate. They don't get a pick out, but it's still Thanksgiving: turkey dressing, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, those things, pies. But we still need your help. I need to raise at least $1,500 right now to buy everything, unless some people in Wichita bring in. We need 10 more turkeys for one. 10 turkeys at $20 a piece. You get what that is. That's $200. So I need $200 for turkeys. So pray about it. Pray about bringing in the things that are needed for Thanksgiving if you live in Wichita. And we also need warm clothing. If you live in Wichita, we need clothing of all sorts. But the other folks, yeah, you can even mail a box. You can do like my wife says. Well, you know, you can buy stuff at the store. And, you know, because chain stores like Walmart are everywhere, you can buy it at Walmart and we can pick it up in Wichita. I suggest you call me if you're going to do that so we can make sure we get the right store and everything. But, so you can go, there's many ways to do it. If you call me and you want to know, a different way of doing it, then do it. You can call and talk to me about it. Or if you're gonna text me, this is what I'd like for you to do. You call me on my cell phone a lot because of all the ad things I've been getting. I don't answer my phone on quite the regular basis I'd like to. So my point is 316-619-4886. Text me and tell me, hey, I want to talk to you about a prayer. Or hey, I want to talk to you about a Thanksgiving donation. If you mail a donation, you can donate online. You can mail a check or money order. You can call and do one over the phone. But you can find all the information you need at prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. And so I ask you to pray about it. I'm also looking for people that can do some internet work for me on some web pages. But anyway, but pray about it. And I am in dire need of a laptop. I really am. If you've got an old one sitting around, I really need a laptop. And this computer that we do radio over and do all our work over, it's about 8 years old. And so you folks know that an eight-year-old computer isn't going to hold up very long, so we need a computer. But right now, concentrate on Thanksgiving. And don't take a regular donation and mark it for Thanksgiving because that hinders us. We're not rich, so we just ask you to pray about it. We really, really do. And so, yeah, I guess that pretty much sums up Thanksgiving. But, you know, pray about it. Make sure you tune in. You can also help us by sharing our radio programs with other people and folks. If you got somebody you'd like to see us on radio with or interview or something, then send me their information and we'll try and contact them and get them on for you. But again, if you don't wish to help the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, because airtime's not free. I have to pay airtime and it's due right now. So pray about it. And if you don't mark the donation, it goes into a general fund, and the general fund pays for whatever the greatest need is at that moment. But folks, you must remember, there really is only one God. Who is he? He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, folks, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.